Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to present to you your hosts for the Married with Board Games podcast, Spencer and Laura Williams.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Laura.
And this is the Married with Board Games podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're back.
For this extra special Thanksgiving episode. Now, it's not the week of Thanksgiving, obviously, when this comes out, but it's the next episode. There won't be another episode after this one before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, we want to address some Thanksgiving-ish things in this episode.
Yeah.
So, stick around for the end of the episode. We're going to talk about the kinds of games that we would take during
that
the...
That we do take, yeah.
And that we...
Tested and proven.
Yes. And that we recommend you take to family gatherings during the holidays.
Right.
So that's exciting. We're looking forward to sharing those things with you. Before we get to the show, we have some announcements we want to talk about. The first thing, this is a very time-relevant issue. So if you're listening to this too late, well, just ignore this part. But
sorry about ya.
Yeah. We, unfortunately, it's a very sad story, did not get tickets to BGG Con before they sold out.
And we only live 2 hours north,
yes,
of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Cue sad trombone.
Wah, 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 wah.
Perfect. And so, but instead of just sitting around playing the trombone all day, we decided...
Because I can't play trombone.
No. I've heard her try.
No, you haven't.
You're right. You're a good French horn player, though.
I was at one day.
So, we are having our own con of sorts. We have...
It's almost like a pity party.
It really is. Our absolute
favorite... But a fun pity party.
Yeah. Our absolute favorite family local game store is called Madness Games and Comics. It's located in Plano, Texas, which is actually only about 30 minutes away from where BGG Con is being held. So, what we're doing is on Friday afternoon... And then Saturday during the day, we're going to be playing games at Madness.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of games. We're going to be bringing some games. I cannot make any promises that we will not walk out of there with some kind of newly acquired something. I'm just saying. Laura's giving me a look.
I'm giving him, yes.
And you can't make that promise either because I know you.
We'll see.
Exactly.
We shall see.
Yes, we shall. But yeah, so we're going to be playing games. So what we'd like is, you know, if you're in the area or if you're at BGG Con, you want to get away, whatever. I know BGG Con is going to be so much more fun and it's 30 minutes away. And if you're from out of state, you probably don't have a rental car. So no worries. But just saying, we'll be in the area and we'd love to meet anybody that wants to come play with us. We'd love to play games with you.
Yeah.
We like playing games with new people, don't we?
Yes.
It's a blast getting to know people and...
Mm-hmm.
And so we really enjoy that. So that is what we're calling the Married with Board Games Con Away from Con.
Yeah.
And the reason why we say Friday afternoon is because we'll be getting in around lunchtime, and then they have huge Friday night magic crowds on Friday nights. So we won't have any room to play
mm-hmm.
board games. So we'll get out of there, maybe go see a movie or something like Fantastic Beasts
or Doctor Strange
or something like that. But it'll be a good weekend. Be a good, lots of fun board games and fun stuff. If you do want to attend Con Away from Con, you want some directions or an address or want to learn a little bit more about Madness, we do have a blog written on our website about what to expect and where the location is.
Mm-hmm.
And where can they find that, Laura?
MarriedWithBG.com.
It is the featured post, so you'll find it on the homepage.
Yeah.
So it should not be hard to find at all.
Speaking of that weekend.
Yes.
And board games, do you know... What international holiday is happening on Saturday, November the 19th?
It's not Christmas.
Correct, it's not.
Or Canada Day.
No, it's not.
All right, I'm stumped. What is it?
It is International Games Day.
Whoa!
That is right. So, it's... I know that our local library here is celebrating it, and I'm sure that there are several that different places, such as libraries, maybe some FLGSs that are going to be doing special things for International Games Day. So I just wanted to let everybody know hey, if you're not coming to BGG Con or Board Games Con away from Con, check out what's going on around your hometown there and see what you can do for International Games Day. Yeah. Maybe you can get involved as a volunteer.
That'd be cool. We were asked by our local library, because they're having a whole game day
there. Oh, yeah. They're doing it for all ages. But we'll be at our own con, so we can't help.
That's what this is all about, though. It's getting the word out.
Exactly. Telling everybody. It's showing people the hobby.
It's not just Monopoly and Sorry.
Please.
So, please. Yeah, so the more you can get the word out about how awesome games are these days, the better we are, because that means people will be buying more games, that means more games will be being made, which means more new games to play, and it's just a vicious cycle.
Yes, it is. Be sure also and tweet to us or tag us in a photo on Instagram, at MarriedWithBG, and hashtag International Games Day. We'd love to see what you're doing to celebrate the holiday and help further the hobby.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's next weekend, right? Oh, well, date-wise.
November the 19th. Yes. Saturday, November 19th.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So that's International Games Day. Our final announcement that we have is we were asked to do a video for a Kickstarter campaign for a little thing called FallsCon. And we live in a town called Wichita Falls, and a gentleman by the name of this year, back in February, put together a little board game convention here in town. And it was pretty successful for its first year. I think he said about 40 people attended. And we unfortunately were out of town that weekend, so we couldn't go. But we told him we really wanted to help him if there was going to be a second year. And so he asked us to do a video promoting it for the Kickstarter.
They lost their venue, and so they have to find a new venue. So that's what this Kickstarter is kind of helping out with.
Right. And so we invite you to take a look at it. You can find it by going to Kickstarter and just searching for FallsCon, all one word. Even if you can't make it, because I realize that there are other cons and you get travel is an expense. Even if you can't make it, there are other things you can do to support it. Even if it's just donating, you know, a couple bucks or something to help this campaign get realized. You know, it's a good thing in this town. We have 3 game stores. So there are enough gamers in this town to have a local con. And we had interviewed some of them on this video to hear why they would like to see a little con here. So if that's something that you're interested in and liking and wanting to help out with that, again, you can go to Kickstarter and search for FallsCon, and you can find our video there, learn a little bit more about it, and just consider helping out.
Please.
Enough with the announcements. Let's get to some games.
Yeah.
All right, so we've been playing some games for one reason or the other.
Right, like most recently was Extra Life.
Yes.
Which is a fundraiser nationwide for Children's Miracle Network. And gamers of all persuasions, board games, video games, computer games, tiddlywinks.
Yeah.
I caught you off guard with that, didn't I?
and actually, it's not just Children's Miracle Network. That was our local. That's where the proceeds were going for our local one. Yeah, all across the country, whichever group is doing, they get to select where their money goes to. So that's where ours.
I understand. Yes. Our hospital here is a Children's Miracle Network hospital, and so the funds raised for gaming for 24 hours. Which, fortunately, it fell on Daylight Savings Weekend, so it ended up being 25 hours. We did not participate in the full 25 hours, but we did go and play some board games with some people who were not playing board games until we got there.
Yeah. So we were excited to open up some games and get started on those. One of those that we played, and also we just reviewed, a review will be going up on the Dice Tower pretty soon, called Nosferatu.
From Eagle Griffin Games.
From Eagle Griffin Games, yes. And this is a tiny little game. Maybe it's in a box about 2.5 by 2.5 inches, maybe 3.5 or 3 inches.
I would say it's like, ladies, it's like the size of a box you would buy like a nice bracelet in. Yeah.
All right. So it's a small game. It's a card game. And it is a hidden roll / deception /... You know, you're trying to figure out, what's that called? Deductive. There you go.
What is that?
Deductive game. Where there is a team of vampire hunters, and then there is an evil team that consists of Renfield and the vampire.
Yes.
And the goal of the game is for the hunters. They want to cast 5 rituals by the end of the game. And then the goal for the evil team is to hand out 5 bites throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that the hunters can win is by
deducting who they think the vampire is and driving a stake through his heart.
Yes. So the interesting thing about this is, so only Renfield knows who the vampire is. He gets to choose which person is the vampire. He hands that card out, and everybody else gets a plain hunter card. And
all Renfield is the game facilitator, basically. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. In a way, kind of like a moderator in Werewolf, if you want to make a comparison, but not to that extent, really.
Right.
You go through a round of players will play down cards, and there are 3 different types of cards you can play. You can play a bite card, which only the vampire wants to play that card, right?
Yeah.
If you're just a
hunter.
But
a hunter can end up with a bite card in their hand.
Because you have a hand limit.
Yeah.
And if you end up with only bite cards in your hand, you absolutely have to play that bite card.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
So there's bite cards. Then there are newspaper cards, which are junk cards. They don't harm anything, really.
But they don't help.
But they don't help. Right.
Because the other cards are incantations.
Yes.
Incantation cards. And those are what you need the most of. Well, you need all of the cards unanimously in a round to be incantation cards in order to enact a ritual.
Exactly.
Which you need 5 rituals in order to win the game, or you need to drive the stake through the heart of the vampire. The thing is, it's safer to go for the rituals because if you guess and drive the stake through the heart of another hunter, it's game over. Vampires automatically win, or vampire in Renfield.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of risky
trying
to stick with just going for incantations or rituals because in the amount of time it takes to get all 5 of those,
there could be
those bad guys could have handed out all those bite
cards.
Because that's the interesting thing is Renfield gets not only to decide who's the vampire, he gets to decide who takes those bites.
Mm-hmm. And when he deals out a bite, it causes a person to discard a card. So that's even less cards that they have to use to select from on their turn to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that really hurts you. It's very interesting. I played as Renfield all the times we played, and having to think, if someone starts to suspect the person who the vampire is, you have to deflect, you know, throw the
blame
off.
But you can't deal them a bite.
Right.
The vampire can't bite themselves.
Right.
It conjures a funny mental image.
And then also, you don't want to say, you know, oh, don't accuse that person. It could be this person. Because why would you
listen to Renfield?
Well, and why would Renfield accuse somebody being a vampire? I mean,
exactly.
So it's really hard as Renfield, but it's fun. It really is a lot of fun. And as a game, as a deduction game, hidden role game, it's a fun game. Mm-hmm. Once you learn how to play, we did some minor gripes that we had was the rule book was a little bit hard to understand. I think it was a translation issue. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just some things that, you know, weren't exactly directly spelled out. We kind of had to infer some things.
Right. But we go into more specifics on that in our review.
Right.
And we would love for you to check that out on dicetower.com.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about?
It's fun. And it's good. It's a good little beginner game, I think.
And it's a good.
It's relatively short.
As we'll say in our review, it's a good alternative to some of the other games like it out in the market. So definitely check it out and check out our review on it. And that's Nosferatu. From Eagle Griffin Games.
Right.
Another game we played on Extra Life Weekend was
Bang the Dice Game.
Yes. This is Bang the Dice Game. There is a Bang, a regular game, and then
Which we've never played.
And then as is the trend with some of these games is let's make a dice game or a card game version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is essentially, do you want to go into a little bit of how the game works?
Okay. There are hidden roles in this game, just like several of the other ones that we've talked about. And there's one sheriff in the town, and there are deputies who are assisting the sheriff. There are outlaws who want to kill the sheriff, There are renegades who just want to be the last one standing. The sheriff is the only role that's revealed.
Mm-hmm.
All the other roles are hidden.
So kind of like Nosferatu.
Sheriff's a little like bit, Renfield, yeah. Sort of. And then in addition to that, you have a specific character,
mm-hmm.
which has an ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just go around the table rolling dice and kind of Yahtzee style, yep. mm-hmm. that you get three chances unless you have some special characters allow you an additional chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you act on your die result.
Right. And some of those results are beer, which cause you to heal.
Mm-hmm. That alone was mm-hmm. what made me go, okay, this is my kind of game.
Yeah. and then there are two targets, which one lets you deal damage one person
to your left or right,
and then one lets you do a damage to a person
two players away, left or right.
One is an arrow, which if you roll that, you get an arrow token. And if all the arrow tokens are gone, Indians come, and everyone who has an arrow token
loses that many hit points.
That many damage, that's right.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think the last one is... Oh, no, there are two more.
Yeah, there's dynamite.
Dynamite.
Which is just one that you just cannot re-roll. You
cannot re-roll the dynamite.
Unless you're a certain character.
Right.
And then there's also one image that's got three bullet holes. And when a player gets three of that die result, it enacts the Gatling gun, and that means that everybody else at the table has to mm-hmm. lose one,
right,
or take one damage
right.
for
and,
that.
And so, depending on your character, shows you how many life points you start with, which are represented with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose all your bullets, you're out of the game.
Yeah.
And then, basically, like Lara said, she talked about the goals. Once one of those goals is met, well, the circumstances is met, the game is over, and whoever met that goal wins.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, very quick. You're rolling dice, not a lot to it, but it's a lot of fun.
It was good because we were playing this game with people we hadn't met before.
Right.
We just showed up to somebody's house for extra life to play
mm-hmm.
and said, anybody who wants to come join us, come on back. And so there were a few people that we had never met before. And it was easy to get this game rolling with them.
Rolling.
That was not...
that was an unintentional pun.
Rolling,
right there.
Rolling, okay. Rolling. I can take the pun further than just rolling yeah. dice. But... It was a good game to kind of start off with
yeah.
that group.
And this is a good party style game because it plays 3 to 8 players.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
Yeah. So and Nosferatu too. Both, you know, this is married with board games. We normally talk about games and how they work well with us
mm-hmm.
With just two players. But these two games both have a higher player count. We didn't mention Nosferatu plays 5 to 8 players.
Mm-hmm.
This one is 3 to 8 players, so you're not going to be playing these two player. But if you, you know, have game nights or...
We're getting to the holidays,
yeah,
and there's
exactly.
going to be a lot of fairly large gatherings. Mm-hmm. So we do need to talk to yeah. our listeners about games for those circumstances.
Exactly. And so, yeah, Bang the Dice game is a whole lot of fun. And we haven't brought it out very often, and I'm sad that we haven't, because it's
but
a lot
I'm
of fun.
But I'm glad that you brought it to Extra yes. Life. So that was good.
It was a lot of fun, and glad we got to talk about it. So mm-hmm. check that one out. That's Bang the Dice Game. The final game we want to talk about.
oh my gosh, your face just lit up.
Okay.
Wow.
We've had it for a couple months. I got it on my birthday weekend, which was back in September. And I just haven't got it to the table. We've been busy with other projects. And
yeah, we've had games we needed to review yeah, and whatnot.
And so busy with theater stuff, and finally got Islebound to the table. This one's from Red Raven Games. And
by Ryan Lockett.
Yeah.
And I think that's your like new game design crush.
It is. And hey, Ryan. Hope you're listening.
Oh, my God.
The reason is, though, this is, I'll be honest, this is the only one of his games that I've played, but I think all of his games, I'm not positive, but from the ones that I've looked at, he not only designs them, but he illustrates them too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that is so awesome to be able to do that. I mean, think of it this way. You've got a game concept in your head. You get to dictate what that game looks like. You have complete control, essentially,
yeah.
over your own game.
Oh, yeah.
But to have that creativity
of
not only creating a game,
yeah.
but also the artwork, which,
yes.
I mean, before we even get into how the game works, the artwork is gorgeous. I don't know at least for me, I think it is. I don't know what style you consider it, and some people aren't a fan of this style artwork, but I love it. I love the colors in this game, the color scheme, the design of the people. I love it. I love the look of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now that I'm done gushing, let's get into what Islebound is about. Everybody is a captain of a ship, basically. And you have this little ocean archipelago. You know, your map is made up of several different little islands.
Mm-hmm.
And you're traveling around this board. Everybody's got a ship. And you're traveling.
You've got crew.
You've got crew members. And you're traveling around the board. The point of the game is to get the most renown. And you can get renown in many different ways. You can do that by buying buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that by completing actions on the board. By visiting some of these towns, different mm-hmm. things you do mm-hmm. to visit.
There are specific events on mm-hmm. some of those little islands.
Yes.
And so completing those events can help you with that.
Like some other games, if you have money left over, you get renown at the end of the game. That mm-hmm. goes into your scoring.
Yeah.
And some of your buildings give you extra bonus points.
Yes.
For your renown. So there are lots of different ways to get those renown points, which, again, that's the goal of the game, is to get the renown points. However, getting those points is very difficult
mm-hmm.
because there are so many different actions you can do. In addition to those little ones that are on those places you visit, those locations, you can attack those locations, which basically makes you an owner of them.
Yeah, so then you don't have to spend a coin to go there.
Right. Normally, when you visit one of these islands, there's an
entry fee.
But if you own it, you don't have to pay it. Mm-hmm. And then if someone else, kind of like Monopoly, goes and visits,
They have to pay you.
Yes. So that's another thing you do. You attack. You can also
ally,
which there's a way to build up your influence in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you spend that influence to ally with the town.
Right.
And this works the same way as owning it, you know, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What else am I missing?
Well,
some of the other things you can acquire fish. And
wood. So those are two ways to acquire buildings. Mm-hmm. You can either use a free action to purchase a building. Also, you could visit a specific island. And if you have the right amount of fish and wood, you can just build the building.
Right.
Which, again, those buildings give you renown.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have to, whoever, first person to get 8 buildings, mm-hmm. that ends the game.
That's what ends the game, yeah. One thing I didn't mention about combat that's fun is through some of these islands, you acquire either pirates
mm-hmm.
or sea monsters.
Yes.
And so those are the little cards that you use. There's a little ratio of what you roll, your dice, and, mm-hmm. and how many damage they inflict. But you use, I just imagine I'm out on the sea and I'm commanding sea monsters and pirates together to attack this town, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And the
pirates are so happy.
Yes, they're smiling. They got a little smile. And Laura mentioned you have a crew on your ship.
Yeah.
And you have to use those crew members to do certain actions. You exhaust them. You have to use those crew members to do certain actions. You exhaust them, so they go below deck, and they stay down there until they rest, and they can come back above deck. There are a lot of things you do in this game, but at the end, it's still very simple what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of decisions that you have to be made. Do I want to attack? Do I want to conquer these islands? Do I want to build buildings?
Mm-hmm.
They all have to work together evenly.
Yes.
To acquire the most points. And Laura is a pro at this.
I don't know if you can call me a pro.
Well, compared to me.
Compared
to me, you are a pro.
We played it twice.
And both times you beat me by 20 points at least.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, so on that note, it plays 2 to 4 players.
Mm-hmm.
We've only played 2 players, but it works great.
We loved it.
We love it as a 2-player game. This is fantastic.
I found perfect little things on Tabletop Audio to add on our playlist.
Oh, it was
so
great.
Music.
Great background music mm-hmm. and sound effects of the ocean and the wind and the people walking on ships. And it sounded great.
It was cool.
But it really was, it really is a lot of fun. I love this game. And I really enjoy playing it with Laura, even though she beats me.
Also, you didn't mention the special feature about those crew members.
Oh, yeah. So, if you know Red Raven Games, you know that...
And Ryan Lockett.
And Ryan Lockett, you know, another one of his big ones is Above and Below. The cool thing about these crew members is they have a flip side. And if you flip it over, they have a side that they're basically an expansion to above and below. You can use these little people in above and below, which is really cool, which says, hey, Laura, we need to go get above and below.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's on my wish list, actually. I've heard great things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Islebound, I don't know if I have anything bad to say about it.
No.
It really is fun. I mean, it's not an action-heavy game. There's not a lot of action. I wouldn't consider it a Euro game, but comparatively to some other games, maybe, just because it's more thinking and more planning.
Well,
and
we never get to engage with each other on
that's
it.
That's true.
We don't get to fight against each right. other.
Which you can take over your opponent's towns once they take
mm-hmm,
one over.
Mm-hmm. But it also penalizes you to even just end in the same space.
Yes, and because there's just two of us, that there's not a lot of that happening because we're pretty spread out on the board. Mm-hmm. So that would make it a little bit different for more players. But really, though, I love it. Yeah. It's great. So we highly recommend Above... No, not Above and Below.
Wait, but if you like that game, yeah. Please let us know.
Yes, please. We highly recommend Islebound from Red Raven Games. Well, that's enough games to talk about. Well, it's never enough, but we need to move on.
Yeah,
we do. So let's move on to our Game Night Grub segment.
Sounds good. Okay, so I tested out a new recipe. I've been doing some looking around on Pinterest. I've been pinning some new pins. And one that I came up with, because I'm trying to venture away from doing too many dips. There's still dips to come because there's, I mean, so many.
It's so easy.
So many ways you can go with dip. Mm-hmm. But I went a little different this week, and this is loaded tater tot skewers. And it's a very simple recipe. You get your bag of tater tots.
Taters.
Taters. Okay. Anyway, a bag of tater tots frozen from the grocery store. 8 slices of cooked bacon, chopped up. I just crumbled mine. A cup of cheese grated, which it doesn't specify the cheese, and I will talk about that a little bit more in a minute. This recipe calls for a tablespoon of ranch seasoning. I did not use that just because the tater tots that I bought were seasoned tater tots, and so I didn't want that seasoning and the ranch seasoning, conflicting and battling it out in your mouth. But I mean, I'm always willing. I'll get some plain ones one time and try that out. And you're going to want some skewers. Heads up, you will most likely probably find those in the outdoor section and not actually in the cooking section. Mm. Just FYI to help you with your search. Anyway, so you're going to cook your tater tots in the oven as per the instructions on the bag. And then when they get done, let them cool a little bit before you start grabbing them and shoving them on the skewers. But you're going to want to put about 6 to 7 on a skewer and lay those back down on your pan. Sprinkle your ranch seasoning over the tater tots, and then you sprinkle your bacon and your cheese over them. And you're going to bake those for an additional 10 minutes until it's pretty much golden brown, and then you can serve it. I also served mine with a little side of sour cream for anybody to dip in that wanted to. And again, this website, they must love their ranch seasoning because they said you could also mix that ranch seasoning into the sour cream to dip the skewers in. Okay, so my thing about the cheese. I used cheddar cheese. And some of y'all already knew this. I just didn't know. Cheddar cheese does not melt well. It does not, you know, just cook well. It gets dry and hard when you cook it. And so when I made these tater tot skewers, they stuck to the pan. I had to scrape them up, and it just got hard. The cheese got hard, didn't it?
I didn't think so. It tasted good to me.
To me, the texture was a little lacking. So I think I'm going to try something different next time. Maybe like a Monterey Jack cheese or something like that. But or Colby Jack or whatever. But just so you know, you might not want to try cheddar cheese. And but yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
Okay. So this stuff's good. I mean, I haven't disliked anything you've made yet, but I mean, what, how could you go wrong with tater tots and cheese and bacon on a stick? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's they are a little messy. You do need to eat them over something because the tater tots fall apart.
That is a tip too. Again, I think it would help with better cheese because the cheese was so hard. When you bit into one and you pulled it off the skewer, it pulled several of their tater tots off. And if the cheese was a little bit softer, that wouldn't happen. But also, make sure your tater tots are really good and baked and like crispy. That's going to help combat them falling apart later. Yeah.
So just be careful of that. And then, of course, when you go, if they do start to fall off and you touch them with your hands will get greasy.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that around your games.
Yep.
So we did eat them at the game table. I think I don't know.
I think that's y'all's call.
Yeah, it's your
as
call.
As the host, it's, you should, that's your
just,
call.
Just know that they're a little greasy and then they can be crumbly. Mm-hmm. And so.
But that's why I had them on a stick. I was trying to combat that.
The stick was, I mean, it's so convenient to have it all on a stick. Just walk around the house with it and you can put your drink in one hand and hold your stick in one another.
You can hold the baby in one hand.
Yeah.
Until she starts reaching. She has started reaching and grabbing stuff. So maybe not.
So, but my judgment is this is a delicious recipe and I look forward to trying it again.
That's Loaded Tater Tot Skewers from madewithhappy.com.
Yummy. All right, now to the subject, the main subject of our episode. Again, family time.
Big
family time. Maybe. You might not have a big family. But normally when you get several people of your family together, it tends to be a little bit bigger than your immediate family. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just looking forward to the holidays and time off from work and being able to spend time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I look forward to spending time with my family is because I know I get to play games with my family. Except for my parents, for some reason, are very hesitant to play games. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that's besides the point. So let's start with a little, we're going to talk about five games that you can take.
We think are good ideas for you to take to play with your family.
Yes. Better said than me, as is usually the case.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with one that you probably might already think about, and that's Codenames.
Mm-hmm. Pretty hot game.
Yes, it's hot, and we'll be honest, we haven't played the Pictures version.
No.
So we're just talking about the basic one. I assume Pictures would still be good, too.
Yeah.
But what we like about Codenames is, you know, when you're bringing new people into a game, a lot of times it's real intimidating for them to have to learn a new game and also kind of feel like they're on their own.
Yeah.
You know, if they're competing against each other. With Codenames being a team game, mm-hmm. you know, you can really alleviate some of those tensions of not knowing what to do. Just say, hey, we got this. Just follow our lead. You know, this is how we do it.
Plus, if you're all family,
mm-hmm.
since this is a game where you're having to go off of what your clue giver is saying, your family, you kind of might know how they think.
Maybe.
It might
or at
help.
Least be able to try to read their faces, even though you're technically not supposed to give
expressions. It might give you a little one-up on trying to figure out which word.
Yeah. But yeah, so Codenames, you know, you're giving out clues without saying words. No, you say words, but you give one word clues. It's like team password, basically. We won't get into all of these games on how they all work. Hopefully, you can do a little bit more research. But like I said, what we like about Codenames is the team aspect of it. It's quick to
simple.
Teach. It's very simple. And that would be a great one to start out.
Most people have heard of Password.
Yeah.
And that's basically
right
what you're doing here.
But it works great. We've had a blast with every group we've played this with, my family included. So Codenames is our first game we recommend.
Mm-hmm. Next up is Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah. Everybody likes to race. Maybe not everybody. Especially if it's a running race. I hate running.
But this isn't.
This isn't.
Pirate ships.
This is pirate ships racing around an island.
Yes.
So Jamaica is, it like we said, everybody has a pirate and you're racing around.
An actual historical pirate.
Yeah. That was a really cool thing about this game is they have real pirates. The artwork is more cartoony.
Yeah.
But they're real names. Mm-hmm. And everybody commands a pirate ship, and you go around an island. The first person around the island wins. But the cool thing about this is not, you're not rolling the dice to move. You have cards. It's like you're planning cards. The cards have little icons.
Kind of a program movement.
Kind of. The cards have little icons on them. It's an arrow moving forward, arrow moving back, coins. And so what you do is a person on each person's turn, someone will roll these dice. And whatever they choose to, they can place a die result as day and as the night result.
Mm-hmm.
And on these cards that you have a day action and a night action. And so whatever your card is corresponds to those dice. And that's the order you have to do them in.
Right. Well, that's how many you do. But you get to pick. The die result goes out first. Then you decide which card you use that. This is your day action. This is your night action for those numbers.
Right. It's been a few months since we played this. So thank you for refreshing my memory.
You are welcome.
So this one is another one that's pretty easy to teach. And if you do want to start getting into a more competitive game, this would be a good one to do that for. It's pirates. Who doesn't like pirates? It's racing on a ship. Mm-hmm. You can shoot cannons at each other.
Yeah. This is one that if you do end in the same space, then it's battle time,
yeah. And so if you battle someone, you can steal what they're holding in their ship hold,
yeah.
or give them a card, or, you know, there are a couple of different things you can do, but when it comes down to it is you're racing around an island in a pirate ship and trying to be the first one across the finish line.
Yep.
And so that was a lot of fun. Again, went over very well with my family and anyone that we play it with.
Yeah.
And that plays up to 6 players. Another good high-level player count that you can work in several people. So that's Jamaica. And it's got great artwork. Good to look at, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next game on our list. Would you like to announce it?
Sure thing. It's another kind of becoming a classic party game. And that is Cash and Guns.
Now, disclaimer, if you or your family have issues pointing guns at each other, this might not be this might not be the game for you. We have actually had people that say, you know, I don't feel comfortable. Even though these are foam guns with orange tips on them.
And no trigger.
We have had people say that they're not comfortable pointing guns at each other. And that's fine. That's, you know, that's your thing. We don't have a problem with pointing guns at each other. what you're doing is you're a group of what? A mob? Mafia?
I think... Yeah, I guess mafia, yeah. Based on who our characters are.
Yeah. So you're a group of mafia, you're a mafia members, and you have just gone in and done this hit job, and you've got all this loot.
Mm-hmm. You're divvying up the loot now.
And so this is kind of a game of chicken or Russian, not Russian roulette, really, but
I think kind of like Mexican standoff is what some people might say.
So what you're doing is as you play, you have to decide each round if you're going to shoot somebody or just fake like you're shooting somebody. You have cards you play down. One is a bang card and one is two different kinds are bang cards it's the white flag, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And so what happens is there's a countdown, and at the end of the countdown you have to decide if you're going to point your gun at somebody or
stay out. But if you stay out, you don't get to get any loot.
But if you stay in and you get shot,
you don't get any loot.
You don't get any loot and you get injured. And if you get 3 injuries, you're out of the game. So it's kind of a push your luck thing. Do I stay in? I really want this loot, but I might get shot.
Yeah.
So that one's a lot of fun. It's 4 to 8 players. Everybody's shouting because, you know, if you stay in, you have to shout, Banzai! And everybody's...
I forgot about that.
Everyone's laughing because you're pointing guns. And then the Godfather, if you play the Godfather, he can make someone move who their target is. So you never want to point your gun at the Godfather because the Godfather's obviously going to make you move your gun onto somebody else. So that one's a lot of fun. Again, it's another simple game. Plays 4 to 8 players. Lots of people can be in this one. So that one's Cash and Guns. And this is the second edition.
Yeah.
There's a first edition. So this is the one we recommend is the second edition. Number four game that we recommend taking to play with your family is Ink and Gold. This is a smaller-ish game. And what's the premise of the game?
You are explorers going into a temple looking for treasure.
Mm-hmm.
But there, it's an old temple.
Mm-hmm.
And you are coming across some kind of scary things in there, or part of the temple is crumbling in. So
some hazards.
Yeah, hazards. I'm sorry. You're right.
That's okay.
That's a good word for it. And that's what those cards are called.
Yep.
And so as you push into the temple, if you decide whether you're staying in or not, and for each round, a card is revealed, and sometimes there are treasure cards, and the treasure is divvied up among everybody, and then there are hazard cards. Mm-hmm. And once two of the same hazard appear, everybody
has to get out of, they run
they
out
leave
of,
the,
you drop your loot you, and run yeah, out of the cave.
Exactly. So that's why each round you decide whether or not you keep pressing further into the temple, mm-hmm. or if you're going to cut your losses and run.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You just ruined that.
That's okay. I think they would disagree.
And so if you do decide to leave and come back to camp while everybody else is still in the temple, you get to keep what treasure you brought out mm-hmm. with you.
But if you keep going,
you might find more treasure.
More, and the really high level, high worth
yeah,
treasures,
the
like the
stuff,
statues.
But you also might lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, this game,
yeah, and
it gets knots in my stomach.
And you always have that one person that will just keep going, regardless of how
high
the stakes.
Yeah, I think that was our brother-in-law. Yes. He kept going anyway,
no matter what. So yeah, it's a lot of fun to make that decision. Oh, I could keep going, but no, because
I gotta bank this treasure.
Yeah, so yeah. That one's a lot of fun, and again, real easy to teach, but a lot of tension and a lot of laughter too.
Yes.
When you laugh at your family members' misfortunes.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
So that one's ink and gold. And finally, what we want to talk about is another cooperative game.
Yes.
And, you know, we were talking about, okay, we considered Pandemic or a game in that style. But mm-hmm. we want to try to keep it a little bit more lighthearted in fighting disease spreading around the world.
Plus, for the holidays, traveling would be easier taking a smaller game.
Right. And so we just didn't feel like Pandemic was the right one. So something along that same style, though, is Forbidden Desert by the same designer.
What do you know?
Yes. Matt Leacock. I love Matt Leacock's games. He does a great job. But Forbidden Desert is the same kind of thing. Or if you've played Forbidden Island too,
mm-hmm.
where you have a goal, but bad things keep happening, but you have to keep those bad things at bay so that you can keep your goal. So what's the goal in this one?
Well, in Forbidden Desert, you have crash landed in the
Forbidden
Desert. And you have to find items to assemble an airship to fly out of the desert.
A solar-powered airship.
Yes. But sandstorms keep coming in and piling sand up.
Yeah, because you have to explore these tiles.
Yeah.
And you can't explore them if there's sand on them.
Yeah, if there's too much sand on them. Yeah, you can't.
You got to keep the sand off of it.
And you can get buried in sand.
You can get buried in sand. It's hot. So what happens when you're hot?
The sun can beat down. And so then that makes you have to consume water.
And everybody starts out with a certain...
I swear, every time we play... Spencer's laughing because every time I play this game, I get so thirsty.
Yeah.
Because we do the... sun beats down and we have to take a drink of water, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really thirsty.
Yeah. And so
and then you've also got characters who all have different
abilities. Yeah.
So then that helps with your team dynamics.
And so like if anybody ever runs out of water, they die and the game's over.
Yes.
There are lots of ways to lose, only one way to win. But it's a really good cooperative game.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and again, because it is a team game, everyone's working together.
And it has different difficulty levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Right.
If you're playing with people, if you do a first game that's with a general group, then if the others leave and you've got another smaller group maybe of your people who really get the game and whatnot, you can maybe up that difficulty level mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
And make the game a little more interesting.
Right. And what I was getting at was, since it is a team game... again, you don't have to worry about people feeling, you know, scared about knowing how to play the game. You can
tell
them. You're
right there helping them.
Yeah. But don't take that too far and make them do what you tell them to. Let them make their own choices.
Mm-hmm.
Say, here are your options. What would you like to do? But in the end, let them make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And that's what people complain about pandemic. You know, only one person runs the show. No. Everybody talks about your options, but in the end, each person makes their own decisions.
Exactly.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So there we have it. The five games that we'd recommend you take to play with your family. Let's revisit what we've got. We have Codenames,
mm-hmm.
Jamaica,
yes,
Cash and Guns,
yeah,
Ink and Gold,
uh-huh,
and Forbidden Desert.
You betcha.
All fun to play with your family.
Yes.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. We hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And safe travels. And if you happen to be in the area for BGG Con, or even if you're not at BGG Con and you just live in the area, we'd love to see you at Con Away From Con.
Yes.
Yes. Laura says yes. That'll do it for us. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Laura.
And this has been the Married with Board Games podcast.